Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 24. Last week we looked at the genesis of stewardship, how in the book of Genesis, God created everything. And in the book of Genesis, because God created everything, and God is sovereign, God owns everything. And then he told Adam and Eve, he says, of all the trees, and I'd have, what was there, 25,000 species of trees on the earth, over 1,000 species of trees just in North America. Out of all these trees, there's one tree that thou should not eat. God, in his sovereignty, held back one tree. And Satan, the adversary of stewardship, pointed Eve to that one tree that was held back by God. In the Genesis of stewardship last week, we learned that God holds us accountable concerning stewardship. What is stewardship? Steward is a manager. A steward is an administrator. And God owns everything because he created everything, and he merely asks us to manage what is his. The misnomer in today's circles might be that, well, God gets 10%, the rest of it's mine. God owns everything. He holds back one-tenth, he holds back one tree, and then he entrusts us with 9 trees that are his. Did I say God owns everything? Because God created everything. And God is sovereign. This whole month, we're going to look at stewardship. And this is not easy. This is not easy for me because it is a heart matter. And it may offend some people. We talked about last week how people step into the doors of the church and they don't go to church anymore because that's all they talk about is money. We're not talking about money. We're talking about stewardship. And stewardship is one of those areas of the Bible that God has much to say about. And as a pastor, as a preacher rather, we're to preach the whole counsel of God. And you as a church would run me out and tar and feather me if I only preach, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would not perish but have everlasting life. Would you not run me out of here if I didn't give you the whole thing? If we didn't preach the whole thing? What about for grace you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God? If we leave something out of the Word of God, I should be run out of here. When we know that the Bible says, the Word of God says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So these things have, some of these hard things must be preached, and it doesn't make it easy. And I appreciate your patience. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We looked at the genesis of stewardship last week. This week, we're going to look at the encompasses of stewardship. I was going to say the thing which stewardship encompasses, but it doesn't go with the genesis of stewardship. So we put the encompasses of stewardship, just so it sounds neat. There are 3 areas of stewardship that stewardship encompasses. Those 3 areas we're going to look at this morning are time, talents, and treasure. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to help us. Help us to learn your word. Help us to believe your word. Help us to trust you. with everything we got, with everything we are, with all that you've given us. We thank you for giving us your Son, Lord. We thank you for him dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you for the benefits you load us up with daily and all your blessings. We can never repay you back, Lord. Help us to be thankful. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We are going to look at time this morning. The first area that stewardship encompasses is time. The book of James chapter, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, but in the book of James chapter 4, verse 14, James says, Where is ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then, poof, vanishes away. Time is finite. God only gives us so much time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, Paul says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." In the scheme of things compared to eternity, our time is very short. Bible says that in average, a man's day is 70 years. God gives us 70 years, which is around 25,000 days. I just turned 50, which is almost a half a century. I just turned 50. This is how short time is for me. Alzheimer's runs in our family. My dad started getting touched when he's mid-60s. I've got, say, 20 years left where I can be of some purpose to our Lord Jesus Christ. That means I've only got 7,000 days. If Alzheimer's hits me like it hits our family, I've got 7,000 days to serve the Most High Living God. Time is short. Book says in Psalm chapter 39, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Time is finite. Time is valuable. Time is what God gives us. One of the things God gives us to be managers of. I think we could all look at some time in our life and say, you know what, on such and such a day, on such and such a week, on such and such a month, I was a poor manager with what God gave me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. To put this series of verses in context, Paul's talking about unfruitful works of darkness in the world and how that we're children of light, and that when we expose these things, they come to light, these unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 14, Paul says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." When we were younger kids, we used to love to sleep in. Used to love to sleep in till 9 o'clock. Until Dad got a hold of us. Hey, sleeping in till 9 o'clock wasn't very... We never got to sleep in till 9 o'clock. Because we were at the crack of dawn or the crack of whip, whichever come first. But there's only so much time. And if we spend 2 extra hours sleeping in, we will never, ever, ever get that time again. It's gone. It's vanished. We might say it's like a vapor. Poof. Awake unto this realization. Verse 14. Time is opportunity, so we need to be awake. Verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We're going to look at time as time is opportunity, time is to be used wisely, and time is valuable. First, we're supposed to awake, and then we're to walk circumspectly. What does circumspectly mean? It means when we're in the Walmart parking lot, and we come back out of the store, and maybe I'm the only one that's done this, but we walk circumspectly. How many have been there before? Yeah, we don't have one of those fancy things that go beep, 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 and all that. We got to walk circumspectly. Time is opportunity. We have an opportunity. Every day we have an opportunity to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to those around us. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Time is opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. Some of those fruits of the Spirit are peace, love, joy. It's an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 20, what else is time an opportunity for? Time here is an opportunity, verse 20, to give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to give Him thanks. It's an opportunity to be grateful for what He's done for us on the cross. It's an opportunity to thank God for how much He loves us. Verse 21, what else is time an opportunity for? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hey, time is an opportunity to get along with other people. Time is an opportunity to fellowship with other people. When I was a kid, I used to think it'd be cool to live all by myself up in the middle of the hills with nobody around. Guess what? I'd be an awful lonely, cool guy. We are a social being. We're to be around people. We're to fellowship with people. That's how we're made. And time is an opportunity to fellowship. A time is an opportunity to get along with other people. And time is to be used wisely. Before we go any further, the reason this is hard to preach some of these things, because it wasn't long ago that I sat right here's good enough. I sat right here. And when I used to hear preaching on stewardship, especially on time, I was the cynical one. I thought, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. You get paid. Don't anybody raise their hands. I don't know if maybe I'm the only one that thought about that. But I thought, because it's just my nature to be cynical. Yeah, keep talking, Pastor. You get paid for it. Keep talking about service, Pastor. You get paid. We're all volunteers. And with that said, and I'm not putting a feather in my cap, but I can honestly tell you that I keep track of my hours. Because I want to be honest with God. I want to be honest with myself. And I got to be honest with the church. And when I think it's very unfair for me, I'm talking about me. Because I know cynics like me. And it would be hypocritical for me to say, you guys need to serve, you guys need to, and you guys work 40 hours a week? And then I, as the pastor, the leader of the church, tell you guys you need to serve, say, X number of hours extra? That would be hypocritical if I didn't serve any extra hours extra. And so I keep track of my hours, and I work close to 50 hours of church time, sometimes more. Not to show you guys how spiritual I am, it's because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be able to sleep at night. I want to be able to be honest. We need to use our time wisely. Ephesians chapter 5. Understanding our walk, verse 15, seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, Verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to not only understand that our walk is to be wise, but our time, that we have, is to understand the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God, our Savior, who will have all men, it's His desire, all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For He is not willing, it's not His desire, that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Time is opportunity, and time is to be used wisely, and we need to use time wisely because there are people dying and going to hell. And Jesus Christ left this earth. And He's in heaven, and He's left the church. He's left believers on this earth to give people the saving knowledge of the truth, the saving knowledge of the gospel, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they not have to go to hell. And we need to use our time wisely, because time is short. Not only is time short, but time is valuable. Verse 16, redeeming the time. Redeem means to rescue from loss. To redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. To be good stewards, good managers, good administrators of God's time, we have to realize that time is opportunity, the time is to be used wisely, and the time is valuable, and we need to maximize our opportunity for the Lord Jesus Christ and be a good steward. Be a good manager of God's time and use the time remaining that we have very wisely. Talent. Talent is an area that the Bible covers regarding stewardship. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or appointed that we should walk in them. Because we're saved, we should walk in those good works. We are saved to serve the living God. He has given us talents. Let's turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4. Concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1. Verse 4, concerning spiritual gifts, now there are diversities or varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, with the capital S, the same Holy Ghost that resides in us when we get saved, when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, when we come to a point in our lives where we realize that we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And their only remedy for sin is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, like we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith. It's belief, it's trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And the Bible calls us born again. It calls us saved or delivered from sin. It calls us believers, calls us disciples, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And we have John chapter 14 says the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and that same Spirit hands out spiritual gifts to some people. He hands out spiritual gifts to all the children of God. Every one of us has at least one, spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gives us when we trust Christ as Savior. Even before we trust Christ as Savior, God has given us so much talent and gifted us. Verse 4. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities in verse 4 is varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And verse 5, there are differences of administrations. What's an administration? Ministry. Difference of administrations, there are different ministries, but the same Lord. Ministries, whether it be nursery, Sunday school, bus workers, bus monitors, someone to bring meals to the sick, just being a help to people, singing. There are many, many gifts, many, many ministries, but the same Spirit. Look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operations. Operations are effects or results. Ultimately, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, but some of our ministries may be to encourage one another. Maybe the effect is not only encouraging, but to get someone saved. Maybe not encouraging, get something saved, but to help somebody, to be kind to someone. Different effects, but the same Spirit. Verse 7. But the manifestation, the exhibition of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Benefit. Withal means together with. We're created unto good works. We're created with different gifts and talents by the same Spirit. And we are created to benefit others, whether it be members of our local church, whether it be guests in our local church, whether it be our friends, whether it be our family, whether it be strangers. We're created to benefit others. Then if we, verse 11 down here, but all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All the gifts mentioned above worketh or produces. Dividing here is to distribute. The Holy Spirit distributes these gifts to every man severally as he will. Those are our own gifts. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, talking about the body of Christ, the church, being many, so are one body, so also is Christ. We're baptized into that one body, verse 13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. We can sum it up this way as far as talents. Liberty Baptist Church consists of members created with purpose. There are people across this world, across the globe, that are looking for a purpose in life, a reason to get out of bed in the morning, and God created us with purpose to benefit others and to glorify God with our unique gifts and talents. We come to church to worship, serve, and utilize what God gives us to manage. And what He gives us to manage is those gifts that He distributes to each and every one of us. And we're to use those gifts, those talents, for His purpose of glorifying Him and being a blessing to others. We are to be wise stewards of our time and talents because God is the creator and the owner of our time. He's the creator and the owner of our talents. And He's the creator and the owner of our treasure. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, like we read, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 says, know ye therefore that ye are that they which are of faith, that's each and every one of us, are the children of Abraham. Some of us have heard the tithing's Old Testament. I'm under grace now. I'm under New Testament. But we're still children of Abraham by faith. We're going to look at two areas when it comes to treasure. Obey the Lord and glorify the Lord. The tithe in Hebrews chapter 7 says that a tithe is a tenth. And that Abraham gave his tithes unto Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. All the tithe or the tenth of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's and is holy unto the Lord. Once again, God gives us 10 trees. Like He gave to Adam and Eve. He gave all the trees and He held back one tree. God gives us everything we have. And He asks that we withhold one for Him. And then He entrusts us with the other nine. Of our trees? Not of our trees. He entrusts us with nine other trees that are His trees. And He wants us to be managers of the 90%. But the 10% He holds back. Malachi chapter 8. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 8. Malachi chapter 3, excuse me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, he says. Ye are cursed with a curse. Ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes of the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. We're going to look at four things here in verse 10. Number one, with a P, it says, prove me. Test me, God says. Prove me. We've heard this a lot, and I guarantee it, that when we prove God, we can see that we cannot outgive God. It's impossible to outgive God. And He wants us to prove Him. He wants us to test Him, to see if it will happen. He wants us to be obedient. And when we're obedient unto Him when it comes to tithes and offerings, we can sleep better at night, we have a clear conscience. There's something about it. When we obey God, I know as independent Baptists we're not to use the word feel, or it's taboo to use the word feel, but it feels good when we obey God. Verse 10, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of blessings. He gives us the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Not only does He want us to prove Him, He gives us the ability, the power to get wealth, but He says He'll open up the windows of heaven. He'll perform miracles. He'll perform miracles in our lives. And this is the biggie. And pour out you out a blessing, the last part of verse 10, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We're to glorify God. When we're good stewards with our treasure, we glorify God. How does it glorify God? Look at verse 10 here again. that there shall a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, circle it. I saw verse 12 this week. And the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. We're to glorify God when we're good stewards with what He's given us in as far as our treasure goes. And when we're good stewards, He pours out a blessing that we can be blessings to others. And we're called delightsome. What's delightsome mean? A pleasure, a delight. When we're a blessing to others, we're a delight to others. When we're a blessing to others, we're a pleasure to others. And we have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stewardship is a good manager, to be wise and frugal. But here's the deal. Can I entertain you for 2 minutes? This thing about being a stewardship with treasure is not really. It is, but it goes beyond nickels and dimes and percentages and dollars and pesos. It's treasure. We're to be good stewards with God's treasure. I have a friend who is lost, who's got a friend who is saved, a born-again Christian. And he got a deal on something over in Bozeman, went over there, and an older couple owned this item. And he completely lowballed them and even got more, give them less money for when they haggled and haggled and haggled. And then came to my lost friend and says, man, I got this little deal I got. And my friend says, what? How did you do that? He said, well, the Lord blessed me. My lost friend says, I looked at him and says, you know what? The Lord didn't bless you. You stole it. There comes a time in our lives where instead of going for the very last nickel and then under the guise of stewardship, when we should be delightsome to others. We should be a pleasure to others to do business with. I know that we got to separate a lot of times business from pleasure or business from being from emotions. But there are some times when it comes to good stewardship that we're to glorify God. And sometimes it's okay to give a guy what he's asking for, especially if it's a good deal. Just be nice to people. I had bought a car for X number of $1,000. I drove the wheels off of it. I drove it for 140,000 miles. It had over 200,000 miles on it. It was a wreck. It was my contractor's rig. It was my hunting rig. It was my fishing rig. It was my going to church rig. It was every kind of rig you wanted. I drove it, logging roads, everything. Finally wanted to sell it. I was going to sell for $400 because that's about all it was worth. These people from Butte came to look at it. And the girl gets out. She's a teenage girl and she's with her dad. And so I said, oh, what are you doing? You know what? She's going to move to Great Falls. She just got out of the Job Corps. So she had a tough life. Now she's back with her parents. And she says, yeah, she wasn't haggling or anything. She got out her money. I don't know what it was. It just, what's $400? I said, you know what? I'll make you a heck of a deal. She says, what's that? I says, I got some snow tires in the back. Let's throw them in the trunk. Oh, really? Okay. She was so nice. And so she started getting, I says, I'll make even a heck of a more of a deal. She's, what's that? I says, I'll give you the title to the car. You take your $400 and find an apartment in Great Falls. And I gave her a tract. I told her about a good church in Great Falls. One might say, well, that's not very good stewardship of God's money because you could have used that $400 and put $40 in the pot and done this. That's not good stewardship. Stewardship is a heart matter. We can afford to give people a break. We're to be delightsome in the land. We're to be a blessing to others. And there are more ways of being blessing to others than nickel and diamond ourselves to death. To be obedient to God is to give 10% to the storehouse. To be a good steward of God, it goes further than that. It's to glorify God and be a good manager of what He's given us. And not be a poor testimony. Some might say, well, I can't afford to tithe. And we got to ask the same question, do I trust Him then? I trusted Him to save me. Can't I trust Him to take care of me? Myself, personally, in my life, I can't afford not to tithe. If you'd have seen where I came from, and how much God has blessed me. And this is not to be faithful with God and then I'm going to get rich. I'm just saying, me and my life, I know where I came from. I never dreamed I'd be in the position I am. I can't afford not to tithe. God has been so faithful with me. I try to be grateful for what He's done. And I can't afford to focus on the one tree that He's held back. One stinking tree. All He does is wants us to be faithful with the nine trees He gives us. We're going to have an invitation here in about a minute and a half. We've looked at the three areas of stewardship that it encompasses: the time, the talent, and the treasure. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 reiterates that. Jesus says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If we love the Lord with 100% of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it should be pretty easy to manage His time and His talent and His treasure not only wisely but faithfully. What song are we going to sing?
401.
Let's take this time to ask the Lord to help us be faithful. Ask the Lord to help us be good stewards with our time, our talents, to serve the Lord, to be a blessing to others.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Trusting in His word, only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, His blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Brother Rick D'Amato, is he here? Where's Rick D'Amato? Oh, he's in there. Oh, good deal. Good deal. Hey, Tom Krug, would you close us in prayer, please?